بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. القرآن الشريف is not a history book, not a story book. A history book has a certain style. It starts off a topic, and the topic is thereafter built up, and then the achievements of the individual are shown. Hence you will find that the general theme of the Quran Sharif is, if it's speaking about anybody, it just speaks about selected sections of that person's life, pertinent, related, specific sections of his life. It will not give a detailed account. Now that detailed account normally you'll find in a history book. It's the beginning, this is his end. How you get a biography. With the exception of three incidents, then the Quran Sharif doesn't relate and report stories like a normal story book or a history book. The history book is just there to impress upon you or to extol the virtue of a nation. Afrikaners are in power, so they will speak about their virtue, their achievements, what they have achieved. The next nation or nationality comes in, they will extol their virtue, impressing upon people. So that is not the style of the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif is sublime, is high. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't need to impress. The one that doesn't have anything, he needs to impress. But the one that's got everything, is there a need for him to impress? The one that's got dark, black, thick, healthy hair, does he need to impress anybody with a wig? But the one is half bald, three quarter bald, or graying and all that, then he needs to impress. One that's got it, no, he doesn't need to impress, I got it. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I have got it. So that is the Quran, it's naturally beautiful. And three incidents, three stories are against the norm. One is the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. Then you get the Ashabul Kahf, the companions of the cave. And then you get the Zulqarnain. So these stories are given in detail from the beginning right till the end. And there was a reason why the Quran Sharif spoke about these three personalities from the beginning to the end. One is perhaps people inquired, what about that person whose son had been lost for some time, and thereafter in grief for the child he lost his sight? So that was the question that was put forth by the Jews. So the entire Surah Yusuf was revealed. Right. And perhaps the second reason why the Quran Sharif has reported this thing with complete detail is that when you are relating, giving an account of something, then there must be facts, number one, precision, number two, no exaggeration, number three. And then it must be overwhelming with flavor and substance. There must be substance in it. Just impressing, it doesn't last. But it's overwhelming with substance, with beauty. Then that beauty is such and that substance is such, it doesn't fade away, it doesn't end. You seeing the beauty from one dimension today, tomorrow you look at it and another dimension of the beauty you discover. And you look at it again, you're finding and you're discovering another dimension of beauty. So that beauty upon beauty upon beauty, layers upon layers. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. In the cause of the revelation that is sent to you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we relate to you the most beautiful story. Not the best story, but the most beautiful story. The stories of the beautiful will also be beautiful. When that beauty was such that when the woman saw that beauty, they cut off their hands. Can you imagine now what beauty it must be? That when women saw him for the first time, they cut off their hands. Bewilderment, they were excited. They couldn't contain the bewilderment. You know, you're bewildered, but you come with some composure. Yeah, they couldn't control themselves. And in that bewilderment, they cut off their hands. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُمْ قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. And they said it, you know, this is not a man. This is a noble angel. Nabi Sallam, when he saw Yusuf Al Islam on the night of Mi'raj, he says, فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُوْتِيَ شَطْرُ الْحُسْنِ. This man has been given a half the beauty of mankind. The rest of the beauty is divided into the entire universe, right? Half is a portion to Yusuf Al Islam. Can you imagine now what was the extent of his beauty? So the stories of the beautiful must be beautiful as well. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. So this whole story commences with a dream, right? And strangely, when you look at the nubuwwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it also commences with a dream. Whatever dream I see, إِلَّا جَاءَ مِثْلُ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. Like broad daylight I would see. Because I see something, and then in the day he sees it exactly like what he had seen at night. So now that's initiation. When Allah is taking someone to nubuwwat, then this is how he's initiated. Yusuf Alayhi Salaam also from his infancy is initiated in this manner. So overall, dreams are categorized into three sections. Number one, it is the thought that overwhelmed the mind in the day. Right? In the day you would think of robbers and robbery, and something happened at night now. Right? So the thought is crowded your mind. So you see someone with a gun, someone is dead. Right? So there's nothing, it was just thoughts that overcrowded the mind. Someone complained to me some years, many years ago, that I always see myself in water, underwater and all that. So I just asked him, but have you got any gaseous or stomach problems? Yeah, too much of stomach problem. So all that gas is coming up to the mind and is what you're seeing. You're sick, you're not feeling well, stomach is not right. So that gaseous feeling, that bloated feeling all coming to the mind, and you feel like submerged. So there's nothing now. He's feeling like, hey, I'm going to drown, I'm going to die, and all that. Alhamdulillah, still alive, over 30 years, he's still alive. So sometimes it is things that were crowding the mind. But because you don't understand dreams, how they translate, how they are interpreted. So now when you see something, so many people see, you know, so and so died. So inshallah, don't worry, he'll live. Death, when you see death, it doesn't have to mean that the person will die. Right? What it can mean is the person has changed from one phase of his life to the next phase of his life. One state of the life to the next state of his life. One mullah came to me and he says, I saw my daughter dying. So I just laughed him off. I asked him, what's her age? He says, she's just turned Bali now. So that's what I wanted to ask. That it seemed that she changed from one phase of the life to the next phase of the life. She says, about 13, 14. So she just changed from one phase to the next phase. Now you got a ghabrakhi. Ek tanha larki hai, lagli bachi hai. Wo bhi ho fort ho gayi. So one doctor and she's gone. So it's a change from one phase to the next phase. So you'll see it in different forms, in different ways. One person told me, you know what, I saw in the dream is I got married for the second time and my wife got to know about it, she gave me one smack. So I looked at him, I said, alright, Why did you get birth again? Say, yeah, I got birth again. His fear had passed away, so he had moved on. Right? So as though he linked up to someone else. Before he was linked up here, that Shaykh passed away, so then he linked up with someone else. I said, well, what about my wife smacking me? So no, sometimes the true dream, some portion of the true dream is your imagination. Understand? Because now you think, you know, if she gets to know about it, Qiyamah agaya. Right? If she gets to know about it, so that's the smack you saw, the mind played. So part of the dream was true. Part was the imagination of your mind. So there's so many things that go up to make up a dream. But a big part, big chunk of the dream is the imaginations, thoughts, imaginations that played up in your mind. This is what you see in the morning. However, the hadith says, that إِذَا قَرَبَ الزَّمَانِ before the approach of Qiyamah, most of the times, people's dreams will be true. I suppose, because when Qiyamah is approaching, there'll be a good level of despondency. See, people are despondent. Trying this is not working out. That is not working out. There's peer pressure, there's business pressure, there's house pressure, wife pressure, children pressure. So there's so much of things going on that a man feels down. But yet he feels down. He doesn't feel that feeling of fulfillment, satisfaction. News is depressing. Everything is going on. But it's so depressing. When it's depressing, then he needs something to pick him up. So Allah Ta'ala will compliment him with good dreams. That feeling of despondency, he has removed himself, he's cleaned himself from the feeling of despondency. Now, you know, you had a good sleep and you saw something good at night. All that worry, the tension, the stress that you had following the previous day, all is gone. Now, how easy it is for Allah Ta'ala to clear up the tension. You feel so tense and stressed and frustrated. And Allah Ta'ala can clear the thing up in a second. You know, that dream sometimes, that sleep sometimes is like it has an effect of Jannat, you know. The effect of Jannat is, see, you went through the worst patch in this life, difficulty, hardship, stress, prison, beating up, everything. But then you have one glimpse of Jannat. Allah just puts you into Jannat for a second. Just dips you into Jannat for a second. As though you hadn't been in any difficulty previously. So that's the magic effect of Jannat. Just one time you have gone to Jannat and you feel that you've never gone through any difficulty. See? It's the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So, as you're approaching Qiyamah, then a Muslim's dream will not be wrong. General, sometimes you still have some other things, but generally a Muslim's dream won't go wrong. That means the true committed Muslim, then Allah will show him, he'll show him true things, correct things. Right. Once, a long time, many years ago, maybe 87, 88, or before that. So, I used to go and see Hazrat Ramadhan once in Ramadan. But that year I thought, alright, I'm going there. Let me also do the Umrah together with going to see Hazaji. Let me do Umrah also. Deliberating to do it, not to do it, go to India, then to Umrah, then to India. How to do it? So I see myself eating paan, then eating khajur. So I made it now, alhamdulillah. Paan is India, and khajur is Madina Munawwara. So first you'll go to India and you'll go to this, to Umrah thereafter. So the dream will come in different ways it'll come. But it gives you a lot of satisfaction, fulfillment, you feel ease, you feel quite comfortable. This is the way Allah Ta'ala communicates with His servants. So the hadith says that the nubuwwat has ended. لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ. Nubuwwat has ended. There's no Nubuwwat. After Nabi Sam, there's no Nubuwwat. Allah just sealed it off, blocked it off, complete. I asked one Christian to keep to the madrasa last week, amongst the reasons why he accepted Islam. So he says, one reason, it's nice to hear the whole encounter, but one, he says, the gospel speaks about a Navi that is to come. Right? And all the description that the gospel gives is in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything that they say is in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then why don't they believe? So he says, I can't see anything that the gospel speaks about that is not in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything. He says, from your brethren. That means, it is from your brethren. You are from Ishaq, and your brother is Ismail. So a Nabi raised from your brethren is Ismail Islam's Olad. Who else can it be? Now they're misconstruing that, misinterpreting that, and they say, no, that's the Holy Ghost, that is now Jibreel Islam. Now it's concocted, obviously, from your brethren. Brethren is the brother of Ishaq. If you are talking about Ishaq al-Islam, then his brother is Ismail al-Islam, and his Olad and progeny is Ismail al-Islam. But they won't go with that. Because now they will so much to say, they feel belittled. But now feel belittled now, and then you'll feel belittled forever. Allah Pak save us. Right. So, as you approach towards Qiyamah, so your dreams won't go wrong, and the reason is, لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ مِنَ النُّبُوَةِ إِلَى الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ. Now, with the going of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the door, the avenue to Nubuwwat has been permanently blocked off. Our Ustaz Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was explaining this hadith here. Okay, that after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no Nubuwwat. So that means the deen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is permanent, there is no cancellations. Right? Whatever is booked there, whatever is ordained there, it's there. And that is to last. So there is no cancellations. Now that's the Nubuwwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because it's ordained, it's decreed. When it's decreed, then there is no cancellation. So he says that, I asked my Ustad, Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that Nabi Sallam's Nubuwwat is ordained, is meant to last to the day of Qiyamah. But then, before the advent of Qiyamah, Isa alayhi salam will come to this world, we all believe. And with his coming down, he will do amongst other things that he will do. One is he will kill Dajjal. Number two, he'll break the cross. Right. Number three, he'll destroy the swine. And number four is that he will do away with the jizya. You know, jizya, a tax that a non-Muslim citizen will pay to the state. A tax that the non-Muslim citizen pays to the state is called jizya. So, Ustaz asked his Ustad, but whatever Nabi Sam had prescribed and ordained, that is to last, there's no cancellation. How does Isa Sam come to cancel this? So Ustad's reply was, you just asked him, who said this? So Ustaz said, but you said this yesterday in the sabab. You know, Muhammad Ramadan, you should teach after Isha. So you mentioned this yesterday, last night in the sabak. Ustad asked again, but who said this? Again he says, but Hazrat, you mentioned this in the sabak after Isha, you reported this hadith. Now the Ustad said with a little bit of promise, kisne kaha? Tell me now who said it. So then he struck me, this is a wording of Nabi Sassan. So if Nabi Sassan says that they eat a thing like jizya, then he's showing the termination, the expiry date. When it will be started off, and when it will be expired. So he has spoken about it, nobody else. So nobody comes to abrogate and cancel after Nabi Sam. What he said, that is permanent. What he said is going to be lasting. What he said is eternal, it's continuous. So if he has given an initiation date, a start of date, he's showing a cut off date, this is the date. This is the date it will start off, this is the date it will cut off. See, with all what's going on, one very, very important thing is, see, we, in this day what's going on, is everybody is linked up to some group. He's linked up some ulama group, some madrasa group, some friends group, some motor car group, some property group. So everybody got a group, right? If it is just for business reason, I don't see a problem. But if it is now that everybody that is subscribing to the group, he is entitled to give his 2 cents, then you are risking your deen. You're risking your iman. Because he is giving his guess, he is giving his 2 cents, that person is giving his 2 cents. What is right, what is not right? Number one, right? Number two, when you are a clique, you are a circle, you don't want to be an outcast, you don't want to be thrown out. So, in forcing yourself to be within the circle, you have to curry favor with them. Are they saying things that are way out? Absolutely way out. Now, if you speak out against them, perhaps they will throw you out. So somehow you have to speak the shun so that they keep you in there. But in the whole operation, what's going on? You getting cleaned off your true beliefs, your true ways, your true values. Just so that you can link up with this. The danger, see. So the right way is, the one that is linked up to deen, he's strong, is in every respect he's strong. But just link up with him. Close your eyes and link up with him. Here you are speculating. Maybe he's right, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, you're guessing this, you're guessing that. And your guesswork may continue the next 30 years. Maybe after 50 years your eyes may open, hey, I did the wrong thing. But if you discovered that you were in the wrong after 50 years, 50 years of effort is lost. Imagine you're doing business, and in the 60 years that you got the chance to do business, 50 years you've lost out. Isn't that a disaster? So rather some style, some way that is proven, that is tested, that's been running for generations, for centuries, it proved its worth. Hold on to that and continue. Why must you guess? Why must you play around? Why must you speculate with your deen? Hold on to something that is firm. فَقَدْ اِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى In the words of the Quran, you had held on to a strong handhold. لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا It can't break. That handhold of Allah Ta'ala doesn't break. So hold on to it, hold firmly, it doesn't break. And when you're guessing, you think, you imagine you're holding on to something. It's just an imagination. No proof, no authenticity, no proof, no backing, no support, but it looks nice, so you're holding on to it. Or you feel to yourself, no, why must I listen to him? I can do my own thing. So when that mind begins to think, I can do my own thing, I don't have to listen to anybody, or the mind goes into speculation and doubt, and you're gone. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to make severe blunders. And then right to the end, perhaps you don't discover, and you discover after so many years. So rather you go with something, that you show about, you clean about, you know about it. The hadith says, لا يزال بنو إسرائيل تسوسهم الأنبياء كلما حلق نبي خلفه نبي. The Bani Israel, this time was, Anbiya alayhi salam managed the affairs. So you needed your islah, rectification, any administration problems, the Nabi was there. He would administer. All affairs they would control. And Nabi passed away and he succeeded. Nabi passed away and he succeeded. So that was the style that existed at the time of the Bani Israel. That their islah, their worldly works, their dini works had to have a direction. So what was the system of Allah Ta'ala? It was Anbiya alayhi salam, one Nabi is going and he succeeded. One Nabi is going and he succeeded. So you can access the Nabi at any given time. You can access. So your deen works are done, your dunya works are covered. Wala Nabi yabadi. But after me there is no Nabi to come. Wasa yakunu al khulafa. But there will be vicegerents. The vicegerents of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Representatives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fatak surun. And then there will be abundance of them. So my ummah will need guidance. Now then you must see who seems to be the most suitable vicegerent of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I see all the colors of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this person here. He won't be a Nabi obviously, but you will see the colors reflecting. Right? It was your father, right? He's gone, for example. But you will see the colors of the father in the son. So you will not say that makes him father. Son is son, father is father. But yes, the colors of the father is reflected on the child. So you will get those people who reflect the colors of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their style, in their knowledge, in their ways, in their mannerisms. Now when you see all this, then hold on. Then after that, why must you speculate? Why must you waste your time after that? The Quran Sharif says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Remain straight as you have been commanded. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَدْغَوْ. So you and those that repented, what they must do, they must remain absolutely straight. Now, remaining straight is not a very easy thing. Remaining absolutely straight is not an easy thing. A human being is not like a thing that is dead. See, this pillar is dead, right? The engineer styles the thing. So years will pass, but the thing will still carry on. And the thing carries on remaining in the same position. Why? Because that thing doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have an intelligence. It doesn't have feelings, right? It doesn't enjoy life. So when it doesn't have emotions, no feelings, no life, no senses, right? So it can remain absolutely straight. And a human being, he goes through love, hate. If he goes through emotions, then he goes through intelligence as well. One day he is high, one day he is low. Right? If there is some prosperity someday, then there is some adversity someday. If there is some grief someday, then there is happiness someday. Right? So now a human being goes through all these phases. Now with all that you go through, you are still required to remain absolutely straight. Is it easy? See, if it is just one way in your life, then you could have maintained it, right? But there's so much of diversity that goes in your life. Sometimes the business is working, and sometimes it's down. Sometimes your staff is cooperating, sometimes not cooperating. Sometimes you get the deal, sometimes your opposition gets the deal, right? Sometimes you are right, your children are going off. Sometimes they are right also, but your daughter is going off, right? Something or the other is happening. But in all this that is going on, Allah Baksh says, remain absolutely straight. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, in the way that you have been commanded. Now, then if you look at the man has got two dimensions, right? One is the physical dimension. Physical obligation we all know, right? Namaz, roza, etc. We know about it. But then you get the spiritual dimension of man. And when you talk of spiritual dimension, then most of us think our minds go, maybe flying in the air, or maybe, you know, with the power of the mind or the eye, you can just drop someone. Or maybe, you know, you can walk in the sea. I must see such a miracle, then I know he's spiritually fit. Now, these type of things non-Muslims also can do. Don't you see now, there's some Hindu festival will carry on, and they'll be walking on burning coal. Don't you see that happening? Don't you see that they have the cowardice and all that, and they're stabbing themselves, nothing happened to them. So if that this type of a supernatural feat was a proof, then they're doing it already. So that's not the proof. When we talk about spiritual, then what we're talking, what we mean is get yourself spiritually right. Understand the principle that whatever obligations Allah Ta'ala has sent, those obligations are manageable. Otherwise, as though you are accusing Allah Ta'ala of sending obligations that are not manageable. That's what you are saying. So you said you must do this, but it's not manageable. That's an allegation against Allah Ta'ala. That's an untruth. It's false. What he tells you is within your capacity. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. He's given you things to do that is within your capacity. Now basically there's about three things that you need to understand. They are detailed, but let me just give it to you very, very simply, very easily, right? Three areas that you need to check yourself on to get the spiritual dimension right. One is, you bring in humility, and anything that is against humility, you flush it down. Pride, ostentation, arrogance, attitude. So the one thing is about humility. So if humility sets in, then arrogance, attitude, pride, all the things will just suppressed. It will just go down. You will not say that it is completely eliminated. The thoughts of arrogance will come, but you will not practice arrogance. The thought of showing attitude may come to your mind, but you will not practice it. So to eliminate it completely, that doesn't happen. Those things remain. But yes, you will not express that attitude. You will not express that arrogance. The thoughts will remain. So this feelings will remain. That's your nature. Your nature cannot be cancelled. Hadith says that if you hear a mountain moving, shifting from its place, you must believe the story. But if you hear that the person's nature has changed, the nature doesn't change. So those thoughts of arrogance, etc., will remain, but you will not express it. The king was discussing the same subject with his minister. King is saying, no, we can change it. You know, normally, person in power, influence, he wants to show that he can do everything. A little bit of false, imaginary, temporary power, influence, I can do this. I can talk to Mr. Ramaphosa, I can speak to him. I got a personal contact, right? So everybody that has got influence, he wants to show, right? To impress. So this king is debating with the wazir. So this is what they say when you are at the level of influence, you know, very, very, very mighty, then normally you're not intelligent. Normally, not intelligent. So you need someone very intelligent to be backing you. Don't you go with your stupidity. So the man that is so wealthy, so influenced, he'll be a little bit deficient. But he need a backup support, some wazir, someone to guide him all the time. That wazir will be able to guide him. They say one saintly person was entering a town, you know. So up till now you see in India, some of the old towns, they have a gate to the town. Delhi gate, you still got it. Bombay gate, you still got it. So the gate was to protect the entire town. So at a certain time in the evening, they close the gates to protect for the security, safety reasons. The whole place is fenced up. Now they got it, I suppose, in Roshni and Azadwal. They got a gate, the whole place is fenced up, and they got one central point, right? So that they used to have in the old days. So now it's broad daylight, and they shut off the doors, they close the doors up. Now this saintly person, very poor, rugged, clothes all torn and patched, hardly got decent shoes to walk with. He sees that the gates of the town is closed midday, broad daylight. So he inquired, kya ho gaya? Why? What happened? So they told him, nahi, wo shahi baaz tha, wo kahin gum ho gaya. The royal falcon, that thing disappeared. The royal falcon, that thing disappeared. Therefore the king asked that the doors of the town must be shut. So now that Buzur sat down and said, Allah Ta'ala, such a stupid person. You made him like this, put him into this position, right? Millions of people are under him, right? And he can't even reason correctly, and you gave him that position. And me with that intelligence, reasoning, so I see my kitab, how much of kitabs I have written, right? And see, kapre ka tikana nahi, na jude ka tikana. I don't have proper clothing, nor proper shoes I've got. So Allah Ta'ala replied him to this saintly person. Allah Ta'ala said, alright, if you so will, we can do a swap, you know. We give you his intelligence, right? We give you his intelligence and his wealth, and we give him your intelligence and your clothing, etc. You prepare for that. Allah, my stupidity, my naivety, that I ask for this. Intelligence, you can't put a price to it. Intelligence, understanding, reasoning, seeing things in perspective, there's no price you can put to it. So that's the system of Allah Ta'ala. If one person has got one gift, then he is deprived of the other. So the comfort that you are in, just be thankful to Allah. Because you're not comparing complete with complete. You're just being selective in your comparison. And because you're being selective in your comparison, therefore you feel down. Otherwise, if you see everything that's existing in his life, you won't want to do that barter. You know, I know of people, very wealthy, very, very stinking wealthy, right? One child, two children, but both of them are someone is Down syndrome, someone is totally, totally handicapped. Can't move. Now you want that. get all the wealth, but you get it with this price. Are you prepared for it? So all these things Allah Pak has given, but when you think about yourself and you compare yourself with the next person, don't look at only his outer beauty. Look at the entire equation. If you look at the entire equation, you don't want to swap. Because you know you're enjoying much more than that person. See, so this king is debating with that wazir. What he's telling the wazir, you know, that we can change the nature of things. The wazir says, no, you can't. You may train the person, you may discipline the person, but you say that you want to change the nature, you can't change nature. Disposition, you can't change. Jabal gardat jibillat na gard. This is the mountain gets shift, but the nature and disposition of a person doesn't change. So anyway, king is carrying on. He with his influence, might and power. Might is right, normally they say. Jiski lati uski bhes. Jiski lati uski bhes. So the wazir is thinking, I must show this teacher, this king, with a practical demonstration. Without the practical demonstration, he won't get it right. I'm just showing him a concept, but I don't show it to him, then he won't understand it. So he said, alright, in 1 month's time we're having a grand jalsa. Big jalsa we're having. Thousands of people all come to the jalsa. And now, around Isha time, the king and the wazir are pulling into the jalsa. Now, olden days, the whole lighting was given to the cats. The cats were so disciplined, so refined, that the whole lighting, the cats are in charge of the lighting at the entrance, at the stage, at the corridors. In every strategic place you got lightings, but who's in charge of the lighting is the cats. One is holding this one here, one is holding a lamp there, one is holding a lamp there. They're in charge of the lightings entirely. Now the wazir pulls in, and the moment he pulled in, you know, I don't know if you've seen the Sudanese, and the sleeve is about maybe half a meter, right? So you got about 5 rats this side here, 5-6 rats this side here. As they pulled into the jalsa, he just released those rats. And those cats had to see that, hey, the whole thing was an inferno. The whole thing was an inferno. The king and the wazir is running away, and the king is asking the wazir, but kya hogi, what happened? He said, what I told you, Jabal gardat jibillat na gard, the mountain kashif, this position cannot change. So in the correcting of akhlaq, maybe that wrong of yours, that fault of yours is suppressed. But it is not for anybody to think that I don't have it anymore. To think I don't have anger, no, don't think like that. If for some time, for example, you don't feel an inclination to woman towards wrong or haram, don't think to yourself that it's dead, and then try to experiment. Maybe it's there, it's dormant, it's suppressed. You think that because of the discipline that you're in, sorry, I don't have it. It may be just suppressed for that moment, but constant exposure to this, that thing that is suppressed, that light that is suppressed, it may just strike someday. So don't take a chance. It's still there, it's still living. Hazrat Yahya should say, Bharosa nahi is nafs ammara par. This nafs, you can't trust it. Until you are alive, you can't trust the nafs. Even if it is so refined, it's refined like an angel, then too you cannot trust the nafs. Because you don't know when it will just strike. That moment you thought, no, everything is right, I'm moving well, and I don't have an inclination towards any wrong, it may just strike at that moment. Abu Dawud Sharif, there is one hadith. One person is so sick, so ill, that he can hardly move. Right? Anyway, he's bedridden, and he complains to his people. You know, there was a girl that came, she was doing the small odds and ends, and I caused it today. So So he wanted to purify himself, correct himself. Now, I caused a problem today now. I need to get this rectified. So he told those people that were around that I caused a big problem here and I need a closure to this. I need to get myself rectified. The people in that day, the day of Islam, their primary concern was our relationship with Allah Ta'ala must not be interrupted. A small little interruption and they're correcting. Small little interruption and they're correcting. Today is now, our style is such. You see, look at the Sahaba Kiram and look at us just for a moment. Just look at it, right? Look at the vast disparity. Our style is, our relationship with people mustn't be interrupted. They mustn't think bad about us. In the books of Allah Ta'ala, we can be a write-off, it's alright. But amongst people, in the eyes of people, you mustn't be a write-off. That's how the whole thing has changed. And at that time what it was, that in the books of Allah Ta'ala, I mustn't be a write-off. So a small mistake or a big mistake, I made the mistake, Ya Rasulullah, what must I do? Look at the disparity. And every Sahabi, right, if he's reporting a hadith, and if it was an occasion when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to correct him, in fact to the extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to reprimand him, he will report the hadith exactly to his students. Samura bin Jundub says, Ansari Sahaba, most of them are doing farming, right? And he says that I had my date tree, I had in someone else's plot, right? Now, that person, in the season, when you're doing farming as a business, so in the season you have to come and spend time there. The reason is obvious, because now when it's season, then everybody is after the fruit. They're getting an attack from the air, right, from the air, birds, from the land, monkeys, from all sides you're getting attacked. So in order to save your crop, you need to be there. So now, this person whose plot this was, he complained, well, Samura, your tree is there, at least move it out, or at least sell it to me. And Samura says, no, I'm not prepared to move it out, and I'm not prepared to sell it. So now the next recourse was to go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this is invading my privacy, and he is not prepared to move it out, and nor is he prepared to sell it to me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interceded. Samura said, no, I'm not prepared. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Anta Darun, you are causing problems. And he commanded that the tree must be axed and thrown out, because it's the next man's property, and you got your tree planted there, get it out. Now Samura, mean one, exactly, he is the problem here, but he has the heart to come and report the hadith. I ask you, if you got a reprimand from a senior buzurug, can you go and report it to your students? So the primary concern is, how do we feature in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? With happiness is saying, now this was my problem, I created the problem, and how I was corrected and reprimanded by myself. Yes, if the reason gave you a basharat, you know, you were a wonderful person. For the rest of your life, you'll talk about it. And I say, even if it is in your dream, you'll talk about it. But the day you got a reprimand and a correction, for teaching purposes, you'll not teach it to anybody. See, that's why I say, there's no way we can say that we are close to the Sahaba Kiram. We are billions of miles away. They go on, I don't know which horizon they are. We are still scratching the earth. They're so far up. So, this verse of the Quran Sharif is saying, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, remain absolutely straight. So in the straightness and erectness, one is the physical dimension, one is the spiritual dimension. In the spiritual dimension, the first thing that is need to be corrected is this attitude. And the attitude comes right when there's humility. A land, right, you want to do farming. The first thing that you need to do with that land is to break that land, soften that land. So if I want to put good values into you, the first thing I need to do is to break you. And if I don't break you, nothing is happening. If I don't break you, I just give you values. You won't understand the price of that value. You won't understand it. You will do it, and like you did it, you can leave it. You can quit it also, because you didn't pay for it. But if I broke you, I broke you, and then I planted those seeds, those valuable seeds, now you will value it. So you see the importance of humility. Now it doesn't mean that the shaykh will come and break you physically, but he will ask you to do things, he will take you in a path that you get broken down here, you get broken down there. Now then you think that I'm not worth anything. The dream that I had of myself, I'm like this, and I'm Mr. So-and-so, I'm Mr. So-and-so. That dream seems to be a false, it's a deception. I only realize it now. So he'll put you into a training, and in the training you begin to discover that your nothingness. So that is the first thing that they train you in, to make you feel that nothing. In the when you look at yourself in the majesty and the glory of Allah Ta'ala, then you feel nothing of yourself. Absolute nothing, non-entity. What I'm here. I don't come of my own, I don't go of my own. I'm earth, I go back to earth, gee. And I say my friend sometimes, but if the thoughts of pride come to your mind, think that there are two things in life that everybody does it. The wealthiest of the wealthy and the poorest of the poor. Each person has to do it personally. That muck that comes out of you, you have to clean it yourself. You have to take it out yourself, and with your own Mubarak hands, you have to clean that thing. Is it a fact or not? That filth, absolute filth. But you have to take it out yourself, and you have to clean it up yourself. Is there any exception to this rule? Can the king say, you know, I am the king of America now, and this, I'm not subjecting myself to this. Can he say that? Nobody is an exception. He has to do it personally. So in two things, there's no exception. Everybody has to do it. And perhaps Allah has designed it that way to teach us what we are. We do these things here, but we don't realize. You see in that corner. See, when I'm in that state, you know, and the thing is just coming out. I don't want to be seen at that time. How miserable you feel. Imagine, just imagine for that moment, and in that state, right? You know, nowadays is a time of camera. And someone just cameraed you at that time. And they're sending it viral. What happened? How miserable don't you feel? So that's your actual worth, what you are. Right? What's in you and what's coming out, that's what you are. So they get this concept entrenched in you, established, that you must feel nothing. Before you reduce to nothing, feel nothing. You're going to be nothing just now, but before you reach that state, now think that you are nothing. Then everything can come out. All the goodness, all the value, all the production can come out. But until you smash this thing out, then it's difficult. You're getting one thing right and you're failing somewhere. You're moving and you're getting punctured again. You're moving and you're getting punctured again. So they will keep correcting you in this. And correcting this thing is a long process. Sometimes it takes 15 years, 20 years, 25 years just to correct you on this. Brother Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah has got someone. And that person says to Brother Junaid Rahmatullah, you know, I've been with you for over 15 years. But I don't see any improvement in myself. Despite the fact that I've been with you so long, but I don't see an improvement in myself. So, Brother Junaid Rahmatullah just wanted to know, alright, but I just want to know, what's your intention? You know, you came to link up yourself with me, but what's your intention? He says, my intention is that just as you are dispensing bayat, giving bayat to everybody, I must also be the sheikh that I'm big, sitting in a big chair and all that, and I'm talking to so many people, I'm dispensing bayat, this is my murid, and this is like this. I want to be like that. So Junaid told him, rahmatullahi alayhi, that's the problem. Baligh banne se pehle, baap banne ka khab dekh rahe. You're so immature, you're so small baby, nipple, and you're dreaming of being a grandfather. The child is going to destroy his health if he's going to dream to be a grandfather, right? He's imitating that grandfather, and he's so small, he's going to destroy himself. So the Junaid told him, alright, what you do? You go into a central spot, you know, central spot in the bazaar, where there's a heavy traffic. And you take this whole box of almonds, right? And you say to people that whoever hits me on the head once, one almond. Twice, then two almonds. Thrice, then three almonds. Just to cut him down to size. So this person turns and he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. How can I ever do this? How can I ever do this? Well, Junaid Rahmat tells him, all right. You don't want to humble yourself. You don't want to flush that ego out of yourself. Right? then this kalima that you have recited, a man 1,000 years of age, if he says it once, then he's getting his ticket to Jannah, right? But you have used this kalima, to disprove the whole science of tasawwuf. Can you imagine what's your end? Use the kalima to reject the important obligation of tasawwuf. See that ego comes in so deep that you don't want that ego to be changed. You want that imaginary respected. Imagine, it's just an imagination. And that imagination is so firmly built within you, you don't want to clear that off. Whereas, it's just an imagination, nothing. It was like Nami Name. It's just a name, nothing more than a name. One, in Dioman it happened, you know, in the old days, one person had just one daughter. So, for the daughter's wedding, he spent about $20 million, right? People have money in India, you know. $20 million, just one daughter's wedding. So one of the buzurg at that time, when he heard about it, a few days he had to meet up with this person. So he says to him, you know what, it was one daughter and you spent so much, shabash, what a great thing you did, right? But, you know, in this whole exercise, what you have earned, you have earned a name, right? This name that you have earned, can you get 2 cents, 2 rupees out of it? Can you get 2 rupees for this name? Nothing. So you spend the 20 million, but you got nothing, absolutely nothing in return. So this is name, this is that ego attitude, this is that arrogance. And that arrogance doesn't have to be associated with wealth. Can be a poor person, but it can be as arrogant as ever. Can be a wealthy person, but as humble as ever. So it doesn't mean that you have the wealth that you are arrogant, no. So this feeling of nothingness, so you enjoy everything you enjoy, but understand where you are, where you're coming from, where you're going to, who you are, understand that. So this is the first thing that you need to get right in the spiritual dimension. The second thing that is need to be correct in the spiritual dimension is to cleanse yourself from wrong sensual pleasure. Now you have to say wrong and unnatural sensual pleasure, right? There's some wrong sensual pleasure that's natural, and there's some unnatural. All know what I'm talking about, right? So, to cleanse yourself from wrong, incorrect sensual pleasure, at any time, whether it's with the eyes, whether it's with the ears, whether it's with the heart, whether you are just thinking along that lines, you know, you're satisfying yourself mentally, thinking along the lines, whichever way. But any type of wrong sensual pleasure. Normally a person that did a little bit of Islamic literature, then he wants to work out things in his mind. You know, he wants to work out things, but work out things in his mind. And then in so doing, they think, no, I have done a great thing. Today there was a question today that in India, up till now it's hardly, you don't see anybody practicing that here. But in India, there's a lot of gold, right? So, now, they're passing on the gold to the child. Right? They want that gold is theirs, right? That gold is theirs. But now, if that gold is going to be remaining with you, say you got 5 kilos of gold, right? Or 40 kilos of gold, then you can imagine now how much of tax, how much of zakat you're going to pay on that. 40 kilos, 1 kilo, you're going to give up zakat. So now they know that gold, if it's given to the child, then the child is not subject to zakat. So what they do? They pass it on to the child, so no zakat paid. So asking a question from India or somewhere, that no, this man has so much of gold, he passed it on to his child, because he felt now if he's going to keep it himself, then he'll have to pay zakat every year for that. So he passed it on to the child. When he passed it on to the child, now he's not in for zakat. So I explained to the person, by to use a strategy to defeat the objectors of Sharia is haram. Using a strategy for what? To defeat the ends of the Sharia. The ends of the Sharia is saying, help the poor. Now just to defeat that, so what are you doing? Now you're passing on just transferring it, right? So that for the 10 years until the child has come of age, you don't have to pay zakat. So this type of attitude or this type of a strategy where you end and destroy the ends of the Sharia is impermissible. Ramadan month is approaching. So now you know, alright, you heard on Masala, for example, that if you are man kana minkum maridan aw ala safarin fa iddatun min ayyamin ukhra. If you are traveling or you are a musafir, so you don't have to keep the faraz zakat, the faraz roza, right? If you are traveling, you're on a journey, so you don't have to keep the faraz roza. So what do you know? Ramadan time came, you went out in jamaat. I go in jamaat in the path of Allah, I don't have to keep roza. So now, to escape the roza, you are going on to a journey, you're trying to destroy or defeat the ends of the Sharia, this is incorrect. So you see the sensual pleasure. One person wrote up, he says, you know, I am obsessed with this woman, you know, but now she's married. But now the thoughts of her keeps on haunting me. The thought of this girl here keeps on haunting me. So she's married, I'm married also, but then the thought doesn't leave me. So I try and explain myself like this, that now, just imagine for a moment, that if this woman was divorced, for example, right? And after she served her iddat, then I sent a proposal, and my proposal was accepted. Now that she's in my marriage, she's halal for me, so how I would have enjoyed myself with her? Now you see that whole, you have to create a whole story just to justify his pleasure. So he's internalizing some pleasure, right? He's internalizing some pleasure. So I asked the person, alright, by... I want to know if someone had to internalize pleasure with your wife in this manner that you are doing with his wife, would you like it? He said, well, I'll shoot him. So only your wife is, she's only valuable, his wife. If that was, because that was permissible, then someone could do the same to your wife as well. Like it is not acceptable for you, it's not acceptable for him, it's not acceptable for you. So the second thing is about pleasure, this sensual pleasure, all type of sensual pleasure. So one is this ego, one is the sensual, unnatural pleasure, and the third is about being obsessed with wealth, what? Being obsessed with the accumulation of wealth. To have a love for wealth that is natural. Allah himself says it, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. That the love for wealth is natural. You will have it. You can't say that you are traversing to this journey of life and you don't have an attachment for wealth. You will have an attachment for wealth. But what is wrong is to be obsessed with the accumulation of wealth. That is wrong. But to having an attachment to wealth, that's natural. Everybody has an attachment to beauty, to good food, etc. Don't you have that? That's all world. So if that was haram, this would have been haram. So this is not haram. Yes, to be obsessed with it. Obsessed means that you have that type of attachment where you become enslaved to that wealth. What it means? You have an attachment to wealth that you become enslaved to wealth. And now what is the meaning of being enslaved to wealth? If the wealth is telling you, alright, go and do this haram, go and gamble, you're going to do it. Right. You become a slave to that wealth. Saying go and gamble, you're prepared to gamble. Take some interest, you're prepared to do that. Wealth is saying, alright, you need to invest in this liquor store, you're prepared to do it. So wherever the wealth is taking you, the wealth has become your imam, you are the follower, and wherever it's maneuvering you are prepared. The wealth says, you can't be so Islamic now. So it's not right. What you say is right. Yabas. Yabas. You have a yabas attitude with wealth. Whatever the wealth says, that you must just say, no, yeah, it's right. What are you saying? Imam Thanissam says, that, you know, in the old days in India, people had that yabas, you know, yes man. So, it's an influential person, so you have one person as a yes man. Whatever he says, even if it is nonsense, this person will just try and make it work. So now, this person here, now the wealthy person, he's impressing on his friends now, you know, or people come to see him. So yeah, हमकर शिकार करने को गए थे. We went hunting yesterday. It was to show now, you know, I did this achievement and all that. Now also, you get these mad people hunting down what buffaloes and all that, right? Someone told me one that the prize buffalo, 146 million dollars. How much? $146 million. One, right? So anyway, you get this mad crowd. You get it till now. So this person is saying, "Hey, I went down to shoot this thing, you know. And you know, when I aimed that thing, that bullet went. It broke the hoof, and it smashed the skull and came out. Hey, people are stunned. Hey, how can this happen now? Where's the hoof? And where's the head? Where's the hoof? And where's the head? How it pierced the hoof, smashed the brain box and came out. How did it happen? Now you got this yes man. Now this is also, you get this group of people, yes man, just to support. Whatever nonsense he says, just support, just make it look right. So that yes man says, no, what you're saying is right. Bas, sab, aapne jo kaha, bilkul sofi sat sahi hai. Whatever you said was 100%. I was there. And you know what happened exactly? That buck that you were shooting, at that time precisely it was scratching his... Now you make it work, you see. You make it work. So you get this type of persons who will make everything work. Halal, haram, everything, make it work. Make it work. And now we think, I see, everything of mine is working. Whatever I'm saying, no, my yes man, he's proving whatever I'm saying. So in the spiritual dimension, you need to get these three things right. This is the main area. You get other finer things, but these three things you have to get right. This pride, ostentation, an attitude, right? Number one. That has become the norm of the day. You know, people say, oh, my ego has broken down. There was no show. I had no recognition. So you want that recognition, you want that ego, you want that pride, and then you feel you're being respected. And if someone actually praised you, right? He praised you in a jalsa or a gathering, they praised you, mashallah, what a great person, and we praise him for his achievements or whatever. So you come on to say, Jazakallah, I'm very thankful to you for you extolling my virtues. So what are you saying now? You know, you praise me, so you must continue doing that. See that it's become a style. Unfortunately, the Western circular education is taking you in a direction of corruption. Right. They'll just give it, they'll rephrase it, they'll rename the thing, but they'll take it totally off. Right. See, in the Western life, there is no concept of shame and morality, right? There's no concept. But now they needed to get these type of unshameful works to a professional level. When they had to get it at a professional level, so they made music, dancing and art a science in its own that is taught at schools. It's science. So you know music, you got some science. You know how to dance. So that's a science on its own. So we're just talking about it to some students. I asked him, what standard you went? So I went to matric. So I said, you also learned dancing. So he put his head down like that. You know, they asked me to do it. The teacher asked me to do it. I said, what happened? So I did some funny things. The teacher shouted at me, just sit down. So they made it a science. The dancing and singing, that was totally haram, immoral, immodest behavior, but they made the science, made it look important. So they just give it a name, and when they give it a name, that haram and that filth sounds to be nice. But is it nice? Is it right? So you see, that's the second thing. Get this thing right. And the third thing, as I said, this unnatural crave for wealth. And to the extent that you are enslaved. So you got the physical right, you got the spiritual right, now you got istiqamat. You know, you say, be absolutely straight, now you got istiqamat. If one of the two is left out, you don't have istiqamat. You got the physical right, you don't have the spiritual right. Or you got the spiritual right, you don't have the physical right. So it's not called istiqamat. And in that spiritual, I showed you the three most important elements. Get this thing right, and you have an understanding of what is the spiritual dimension. But overall, of your own, you can't get it right. Because when you're trying on your own, You may think that you have got it, but you don't have it. And sometimes you may think that I don't have it, but you have it. Because it's a spiritual thing, it's a thing that is not perceivable. When not perceivable, you may think you have got it. So you need someone to direct you, to correct you, right? This is not right, this is like this. This is how you understand it. See, people that went on this path on their own, guessing and all that, many a times their whole lives went away, but they didn't achieve. Or they created problems for themselves. One person, he's trying to learn the soul on his own. So someone told him, do zikr, so he started zikr. He went to one masjid. He saw now it's not namaz time, so there's nobody there. And let me start off zikr. So as he just started his zikr, he saw one person just come in. Musafir, he made wuzu, came and read 2-4 rakat namaz. And he's so tired, he's exhausted, he fell asleep. And that person is in his sleep now, and snoring away. Yeah. So this person is engaged in his zikr, he's getting disturbed. When he's getting disturbed, he's caught him up, shaking him up. Why are you disturbing me? He's snoring so loud. So he's half asleep, groggy, and went to sleep again. Now this person got frustrated. Now he went to him, this person is fast asleep, he can't control himself when he slit his throat. And I said, now I can make zikr, and I can make zikr with ease. But you see, you're doing work without instruction, without direction, supervision, and how it misleads you.